Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app, see?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Redskins, your daily podcast on the Washington Redskins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Redskins podcast. Ben Standig here. Pleasure to be with you guys and happy holidays to everyone out there. I typically do one podcast a day here on Locked On Redskins, and of course you can find all our podcasts on iTunes or Audio Boom or anywhere else you do your podcasting. But I'm going to double dip here today, obviously with the holidays coming up. I know everybody's going to be going away, and you may not have a chance to listen to something I put up on New Year's Eve, or not Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. On the other hand, you may be looking for a way to get away from your family for a little bit. Totally understandable. We all know how that can go at times. So earlier today, or overnight, I should say, I posted a podcast with Nick Ashew from ESPN 980, where we talked about the hypothetical power struggle that could become upcoming between Jay Gruden and Scott McLuhan, depending on how things go. It was a pretty fun and nuanced podcast, so give a listen to it. But now today, I've got two things for you. First off, at Thursday's practice, I talked to Redskins safety Will Blackman about a few things, including his adjustment to safety, but also the adjustment that it appears Sue Cravens will be going through. I talked to Blackman before Sue Cravens himself put up a tweet saying that he was moving, but I talked to Blackman after I had posted a story on BreakingBurgundy.com where sources had told me that the move was, in fact, coming. So hopefully you guys can get interested in listening to this, but also can have a chance to check out the article on Breaking Burgundy, where we've got a couple other articles this week up that I did on the DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon situation. Spoke to over 10 NFL sources on that and got a lot of interesting insight, and there's more to come on that. Furthermore, because it's Redskins Bears, we've got to talk about that matchup. And so for that one, I did a little crosstalk, I guess you could say, with Arthur Arkush, who writes for Pro Football Weekly, and he also does the Locked On Bears podcast. This is more his podcast that he recorded, that he was asking me questions. I guess I should have jumped in more with some Bears questions, but I gave a lot of perspective on the Redskins side of things. But also, we did get into where things are with the Bears, particularly with quarterback Matt Barkley taking over in Chicago and how that's been working out, and also the Jay Cutler situation, how Jay Cutler's free agency could impact what happens with the Redskins, and listen for that as well. So we'll get into all that. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys for checking this out. We're still just getting started here on Locked On Redskins, and we're going to get things ramped up soon with more guests and some surprises along the way. So appreciate you guys listening. Subscribe when you can. And now, here we go. First up, my interview with Will Blackman, and then just going to jump right in to the interview with Arthur Arkush.
We're joined here by Redskins safety Will Blackman. Will, let me start off a little bit light here. We're a couple days out from Christmas. Best Christmas present you ever got?
My dad got me a... He got me the Hutch uniform, the little kids' football Hutch uniform, and I think it was New York Jets, and I think the quarterback was Ken O'Brien.
Sure.
Believe it or not.
Sure. First-round pick, he was good there.
He was, yeah. So, yeah, I was happy to have that because it came with shoulder pads and a helmet.
At that point, were you already thinking in your head? Because I know you had told me before you've been thinking really young. Were you already thinking at that point, or did that trigger the thought?
No, Ken O'Brien did not trigger it, but no, I always I just remember since I was four, I remember watching like Barry Sanders. He was what triggered and inspired me to want to play in the NFL.
Another short week for you guys. Actually, I wasn't going to ask that, but let me just ask it. It is kind of crazy the amount of short weeks you guys have had. Have you ever had in your career, have you ever had this many short weeks in one season? And what do you think about the fact that this has been a thing for you guys this year?
You know, I don't – you just have to adjust. You know, at the end of the day, we get to play 16 games like everybody else. And it's football. So we got to play two games in a row. Yeah, it's going to be tough physically, but – I mean, you're still getting paid, you know, it's still your job. So regardless of what people think, the NFL wants money or revenue, what have you, at the end of the day, it's still football, and we have a chance to go play this game. So I don't really care.
You guys are only essentially going to have one full practice this week, some walkthroughs, what have you, but one full practice. What's the biggest shortcut to some degree that you have to take as a defensive back getting ready for that next game? Is there something you can't do as much or something you have to kind of work around to get ready?
Yeah, it's good to make adjustments physically. You want to get that rapport with your fellow defensive backs to see how they see it and what have you. But fortunately for us, you know, we're deep in the season where we know what the other person is thinking. So it's good to have that one practice to go through it, but it's okay to have some grease board and film work.
Because it is a short week, you guys have no choice but to move on from last week. Does that almost make it easier, considering how the way you know things ended last week?
It does help because it's on to the next. So most people can think like that. Hey, I got to go to the next one. But this short week kind of forced it on us.
And just lastly, I know we've talked to you before about the position switch you made this year. I guess just your thoughts as we're almost to the end of the year, one way or the other, on how you think that went. It's one of the things where if it had been earlier in your career, would it have been different, better, or for worse?
You know what? I think it's been cool, man. I know I could have. There's more plays I could have made that I left out there on the table. Yeah, that's it, man. I think it was cool, you know. That's all I got.
There's been some talk about possibly Sua, who was a safety in college, was drafted as a safety and then moved into linebacker. No. Now he could move back to safety next year. Haven't seen him for a year. What are your thoughts on that? I know it's ultimately not your call, but just from what you've gone through and kind of what you've seen from him, how do you think about that transition?
No, I mean, it's ironic that, you know, I take a look at a couple college players, and I remember as soon as YouTube came across my phone, man, I looked at it, I was like, oh, man, he's a really, really good player, man, and we ended up drafting him. And I thought he was going to be a safety, you know, when we got him in here because he's made plays. I think that's his natural position, you know. He can cover. He's a great tackler. He has awesome ball skills, man. So I think that's a great move for us, man, is to have somebody like Sua back there.
Hey, well, I really appreciate your time, man. Yeah. Happy holidays to you and yours, and obviously good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, buddy. Yep.
All right, that, of course, Redskins safety Will Blackman. Very cool of him. Fun fact, I interviewed Will Blackman the previous week ahead of the Josh Norman game against Carolina. We talked a lot about that, and somehow my recorder messed up, and I was not happy about it because he had some good thoughts. So I wanted to get circle back. He was kind enough to take a few more minutes, so really appreciate Will Blackman for doing that. Really interesting guy, absolutely. All right, so let's get into this Chicago Bears preview with Arthur Arkush from Pro Football Weekly and also Locked On Bears. Some good stuff in here. Check it out. Thanks.
Hello.
There's our next guest on the Locked On Bears podcast. Some Locked On Bears, Locked On Redskins crosstalk. Ben Standig, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm just rocking and rolling, sitting in the D.C. traffic.
That sounds like you're probably doing a lot more rocking on the steering wheel than rolling with your wheels, but very good. Hey, did I get the last name right? Is Standig the correct pronunciation?
You got it. Yep, thanks a lot.
All right, yeah, of course. And in addition to Locked On Redskins, what's the Twitter handle? Where should people find you at?
Sure, Twitter is at Ben Standig, and the website I cover the Redskins for, BreakingBurgundy.com, part of the Scout.com network. We've got a lot of stuff up this week about DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon in free agency, and I just reported today that Sue Cravens, their second-round pick this year, switching positions for next year, so it's been a busy week, even with the, on top of the Bears game coming up.
Yeah, right, and a short week too, obviously, an even shorter week than usual, the rare Monday to Saturday. So appreciate you taking out a few minutes from your busy schedule, and I guess let's start with those receivers, Ben. What have you seen from those guys? I know DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon both out of contract at year's end. It looks like Jamison Crowder's on the cusp of stardom. Do they keep one? Do they keep both? Do they keep neither? What do you anticipate happens? And in the short term, who's kind of been filling the bill with Jordan Reed, not Jordan Reed of late?
It's definitely a very interesting situation. They're both very different types of receivers.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson, obviously one of the elite deep threats in the game, but it's you know, throughout his career even, but especially with the Redskins, you know, it's somewhat hit or miss. He gets a 50-yard play over the top, or he doesn't get a ton of work involved. He's not a guy you go to on third and six. He's also been banged up at times. He's missed a couple games this year. I think it's 8 games now over 3 years. But he's a deep threat that they don't have, and a lot of teams don't have. Pierre Garçon, on the other hand, unbelievably reliable, hasn't missed a game since 2012. He can run all the routes. There's not that much flashy, but he catches everything. He runs those routes over the middle. He's a big security blanket for quarterback Kirk Cousins. And, you know, he's also a factor in the blocking game. My sense, both from my own sense of the world, but along, I've talked to over 10 league sources in the last week or so about this. Most people seem to think Garçon is the one likely to come back. It's a combination of Jackson maybe getting a home run offer from somebody else out there. The Philadelphia Eagles are a team that he used to play for that's been reported to be interested again. And that Garçon is ultimately maybe a better fit in terms of the locker room. That's another consideration. But it's going to be a really interesting fit, because if you let one go, it's going to be possibly hard to replace the other one.
Yeah, no doubt that will be. I guess it qualifies as a good problem to have. I heard a crazy stat on the Monday night game. Was Pierre Garçon not dropped a pass, a catchable target this season? Did they get that right?
Well, you know what? I was at the game in the press box. I didn't hear the TV, but that may be right. I mean, he is really reliable, both in terms of showing up to play and what he does out there on the field. You know, like I said, the only thing with him, they're both going to be over. They're both getting 31 by next season.
Yeah,
he's just, you know, he's solid in every way. He just doesn't stand out as a guy, especially, you know, in this fantasy football era that we're all in. He's not a guy that you're starting every week, so to speak, because,
right,
you know, it'll be like 6 for 72. It won't be 3 for 129 and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
And not that the Redskins care about the fantasy number, but that's why it'll, you know, he some people may not have appreciated what he does. By the way, I will say, if you look at the free agent class, I think those two guys are probably two of the top five likely free agents, which makes it interesting further, because if you let one or both of them go,
yeah,
it's not going to be that easy to get to find a comparable replacement.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think I think number one on that list, my guess, and I haven't had a chance to really start digging yet, but I'd have to think it's going to be Alshon Jeffrey. I don't know that the Bears will let him get away. I'm not even sure they've decided just yet, but what do you think about Alshon versus Josh Norman? I'd imagine that will be appointment viewing. What have you seen from Norman? Do you think he's lived up to that pretty darn lofty expectations and massive contract? And how do you kind of envision that one playing out?
I literally just asked Josh Norman that exact question probably half hour ago or today, or give or take.
Perfect.
And his basic, you know, his initial scouting report, hey, you know, Alshon's a big physical receiver. Norman didn't mention Dez Bryant, but that sort of came to mind in terms of what they're dealing with. You know, some games the Redskins have had Norman track the other team's top receiver. Other games, not as much. I'm not quite sure what the Redskins have in mind for this week. Part of it could be due to injuries. Their nickel corner, Quentin Dunbar, is probably out with a concussion. It seems likely. Their nickel linebacker, Sua Craven. He missed last week. He hasn't played this week yet, or hasn't practiced yet this week, and looks iffy at best. So I don't know for sure who the Redskins will have out there. To some degree, that could lead to what they decide to do with Norman. It becomes a little harder if you have one guy following somebody else around to make a lot of adjustments on defense. But in terms of your bigger picture question on Norman, you know what? Has he been quote-unquote worth the five-year, $75 million funny money contract that he signed? I don't know. I think he's been a very, very good signing, though. I'd be find it hard to complain about what he's brought to them. Most games, he's locked down the other team's best receiver when he's gone up against them. Quarterbacks rarely throw his way. And still, he's been arguably one of, if not the hardest worker among the defenders week in, week out. So hard to complain about what he's brought to them. They just have a lot of other holes on defense. And, he's not one of them. They got to fix up a lot of other areas, though, for sure.
Spending a few minutes here chatting with Ben Standig, host of Locked On Redskins, and make sure you check out his work on Twitter at Ben Standig. And what about Kendall Fuller? His brother Kyle has been in the Chicago news over the past couple days, and not in a good sense. He just got just reverted back to injured reserve, which means his third season in the NFL is going to be a wash. You mentioned Dunbar, the nickel, nicked up. Didn't they have Kendall playing some nickel role too earlier in the season? And could he maybe be doing that on Saturday?
Yeah, so Kendall Fuller, his last year of college was more or less wiped out because of microfracture knee surgery.
Right.
We weren't quite sure what the Redskins were going to get out of him this year in the third, after they picked him in the third round. But he came on pretty quick, was able to go through pretty much all training camp without an issue. Started slow in terms of being on the roster, but eventually they moved him to be essentially the starting slot corner, as it were. A lot of times in today's NFL, you have three corners on the field. But he had had a stretch there where guys like Larry Fitzgerald and Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs were really getting up a lot of production in the slot. So the last couple of weeks, they moved Fuller out, moved Rashad Breeland from outside to slot, moved Dunbar to the other corner, to the third corner, essentially.
Right.
But you're right. With Dunbar likely out, based on what Jay Gruden said today, then I think Fuller probably gets back out on the field some more. He's definitely an interesting talent. Look, again, a rookie who didn't play much of his last year of college, you expect ups and downs. We've seen that. But we've also seen some good play out of him, and I think they, for the most part, feel pretty good about what they have going forward. But obviously, they need to win the game this week, so we'll see how effective he can be against the Bears.
Okay, and that would be potentially an interesting matchup. A guy many people don't know a ton about, Cameron Meredith, the Bears' second-year player, former undrafted, former collegiate quarterback, has actually been getting some work out of the slot, and he's played pretty well. He's a little bit bigger body type, and I think maybe could give Fuller a little bit of trouble, but I don't think anyone's going to want to mention him in the same sentence as Larry Fitzgerald, and I think Anquan Boldin, if memory serves, had a pretty nice day against Fuller, too. But Ben, what do you think? I can't believe I made it this long without really asking about Jordan Reed and that shoulder and that ejection, and kind of just Washington's mindset overall coming off what I'd have to think can only be viewed as a pretty big missed opportunity. And that's not to take anything away from Carolina, which played a hell of a game Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Reed is definitely on shaky ground for this week because of the shoulder injury. Before the ejection, he really was seemingly more of a decoy than anything else. Wasn't doing that much. The ejection itself was just, I don't know, borderline insane. But first of all, throwing a punch isn't cool. It took the Redskins, they were down 23-9 at the time in the second half. Yeah. They were at the Carolina 10 first down on a pretty nice drive. And instead of being in the position to punch it in, they get moved back 15 yards because of the punch. Even crazier than that, why on earth would you throw a punch at a guy wearing a helmet? especially when it'd be crazy enough for anybody. But if it's a lineman, at least you can put a club on your hand. You're a receiver. You need your hands.
Yeah.
So that made it just even crazier. Jay Gruden, after that game, said Reed definitely hurt the cause with that. But based on what we saw and heard today, it sounds dicey that he would play, especially with a short week and how limited he was last week.
Yeah, I always wonder that too, Ben. I never quite understand. And I guess obviously if you're out there throwing punches, you're probably having sort of a loss of reason. You get lost in the moment, so you're probably not thinking it through in the first place. But I always do ask myself that same question. Can Washington recover? I know they need some help now, I believe. They went from controlling their own playoff destiny to now needing some help. They'll come into Soldier Field as slight favorites, I think. What do you think, Ben, in terms of them kind of finishing off this playoff push and if they do it successfully?
Yeah, so they went from being in control of their situation to now needing some help.
Yep.
But it's not a dire situation. Look, they basically have got to win their last two games. Obviously, Chicago this week, they closed the season against the Giants, who may not have anything to play for depending on what happens with them this week if they clinch a playoff berth. More or less, they need a Tampa Bay loss, and I want to say a Green Bay loss, but Green Bay and Detroit also play each other week 17. But they're not in a bad position. The odds aren't too bad that can work out for them. But again, they've got to win these last two. They have lost three out of four. I think the hard part to project is, on the one hand, if they make the playoffs, I think the NFC is so wide open. The NFL as a whole is just filled with parity, which personally I don't really like. But I really think on any given day, anybody can kind of get the job done. But in a realistic world, the Redskins' defense is just not that good. They can't stop the run. And the offense, which has been carrying the team most of the year, has looked a little more ordinary the last couple of weeks. I think they've gotten away from a good run-pass balance that they had. It's been too much throwing, not enough Robert Kelly running. They vow to fix that this week. We'll see. So again, I don't think their position is that bad despite the loss, but they got to win and they do need some help.
Ben, I want to say that kind of plagued Jay Gruden a little bit toward the end of his Cincinnati tenure, and I might be making this up, but it seems to me that he got away from that run-pass balance a little bit, even though he had a pretty good pair of backs there, I think. So it sounds like you're saying maybe the play calling is as much to blame as Kelly, who I know has kind of gone quiet. Is that accurate? And then B, how concerned does the Washington defense have to be looking at Jordan Howard on tape after what Jonathan Stewart just did to them?
Well, to your latter point, I definitely think they have to be concerned. I mean, they haven't been able to stop too many people. In fact, most of the games where the other team hasn't rushed for a ton of yards overall, it's been in largely because they just stopped running for whatever the reason on their own side. Mm-hmm. Yards for the 4.5 yards per carry by an opposing starting running back is a fairly common thing this year for the Redskins. And Jordan Howard has definitely been a heck of a find for Chicago. As far as Jay Gruden goes, I mean, he was, I guess, the play caller in Cincinnati. The Redskins have offensive coordinator Sean McVay calling the plays. Now, Gruden is obviously involved being an offensive guy, but, he's made comments just over the last couple of days saying, we can't just have a run that goes for 1 yard and think, well, the run's not working, let's do other stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to keep at it. I think he's right. And not only he wouldn't say this, part of the reason they have to do that is the time of possession battle, they've been losing that badly the last couple of weeks. The more they can run the ball, even if they're able to get a couple yards here and there, keep their own defense off the field or at least keep their defense as fresh as possible, maybe that can help them. Because that's the best thing the Redskins can do, control the ball on offense to limit the defense's exposure.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for correcting me. I kind of forgot, and I shouldn't have, because Sean McVay, I know, is a kind of bright, young offensive mind, and I totally blanked it that he's the one calling the plays there. And I'll tell you, Bears fans could certainly relate. If there's any frustration among Redskins fans and media and anyone else about a lack of balance offensively, Dowell Loggins, the first-year play caller here, many weeks seems kind of immune to using Jordan Howard. So it's been sort of the biggest mystery that sort of lingered over this team all season, to be quite frank. So, Ben, the last one I really have for you, and thank you again so much for the time. I hope to answer more Bears questions. questions for you too, so please tee them up if you have them. The last one I really have for you is, and I guess it speaks to how bad this position was for the Bears last season, but just want to check in on former Bear Mason Foster. I'm curious what he's done to that defense, good or bad, and he was kind of the one that Bears fans, he was the one that got away, Bears fans thought, last preseason, especially after watching Shea McClellan and Christian Jones kind of man the middle really, really badly for 16 games.
Yeah, sure. Mason Foster came in last year off the street. The Redskins went, their two inside linebackers last year in the second half of the year were two guys. One was an undrafted free agent in the Will Compton, and one was a street pickup in Foster, and they helped turn that defense around. Again, not the, they weren't the 85 Bears, but they were at least better than they had been previously. And, right. There's definitely been some concerns with the inside linebacker play this year. I won't pretend to be smart enough to tell you whether it's Foster, whether it's Compton more, whether it's the defensive line is just so lacking.
Yeah.
But I do think we'll have to probably look to address that position. But that said, I think Foster, for the most part, has held up and he's been effective. I think, it would seem reasonable to think he'd be in their plans going forward. And, I can't say that there's been any, real big issue with him. But, just to ask you a question, obviously one thing that's interesting in this game is, from our perspective, no Jay Cutler. Matt Barkley has been seemingly putting up some good numbers. Matt Barkley is one of those guys I liked coming out of USC, but then, it seemed like he wasn't going to get anything done. And I'm like, okay, here we go, another Matt Leiner is going to go down this path also. Mark Sanchez, too, but these last couple weeks, seems like we've been getting pretty good reviews. Is this a case of actually true that maybe the Bears have something, or is this one of those deals that you see at the end of the season sometimes, a guy comes into a spot, the other team isn't really that, worrying about him, and he maybe does a little bit better than he really is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's probably a little bit of both, not to cop out on you, but I do think that in terms of what he has been up against, Alshon Jeffrey suspended prior to last week, so they've only had one start together. Kevin White done for the year, Zach Miller done for the year, Eddie Royal done for the year. And some of the situations that he's been in, whether it was a driving snowstorm versus the 49ers or a huge deficit to a race versus Tennessee, another big fourth quarter deficit that he had to overcome or come close to overcoming a week ago against Green Bay. So I think in terms of his resourcefulness and in terms of kind of having a lot of resolve, I've been really impressed. And it's easy to forget that he was on the street in October and he's picked this all up really quickly. When you look at how uncertain the Bears quarterback situation is next season with Jay Cutler likely on the way out, no remaining guaranteed money left, I think Barkley has earned the right to at least compete in that, in a really uncertain quarterback room. Whether he's the future, definitely not ready to say that, but he has exceeded my expectations thus far. And I think this is a big opportunity for him because, as you alluded to, the Washington defense isn't really going to scare the Bears, I don't think. And I do think that the offense for the Redskins probably bounces back and puts Barkley in another situation where he has to score some points. So last week was pretty uneven. He dug that hole with four turnovers, the kind of mistakes that he had been avoiding largely through the first three starts. So curious to see how he bounces back from that. And he's auditioning for, again, a big role with the Bears, and if not the Bears, another team next season. So, he's exceeded expectations, but there's a lot to be proven still. So it will be interesting for sure. Ben, I know we're about out of time here, and again, I'm sorry I didn't get to answer more of your questions, and if you have more, please do. But in the meantime, who wins Saturday? Do you do picks, and do you have a feeling on this one?
I probably haven't gotten all the way through my brain yet as to what I think, but look, on paper, the Redskins should get this done. Their offense has been largely good most of the year, even with a little dip of late.
Yeah.
So, they've got something to play for. The Bears, in theory, don't, other than pride and players trying to make a good impression going into the offseason. So I think the Redskins get this done somehow. But at the same point, again, they've lost three or four. Last week was particularly unimpressive. If they were to lose this game,
in any way, shape, or form. It's amazing how things could turn around. We've gone from so much talk about Kirk Cousins' contract and, how far away are the Redskins really contending? If they were to lose this game and, you know, essentially fade out of the playoffs, who knows what the situation here would look like. But I'll say they win this one. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think Washington wins too, and for a lot of the reasons you just alluded to. They just have a lot more to play for, and I really think that those pass catchers against the Bears, really inexperienced secondary, can be a big mismatch with or without Jordan Reed. Jamison Crowder would scare me a little bit if I were the Bears defense, and there are some other weapons there. And I imagine Kirk Cousins has another decent game. I know he's been playing fairly well. And again, I know we're about out of time, but I have to at least just ask, and it can be a one-word response. Does Scott McLuhan think about tagging Cousins again? I mean, he can't let him get away, right?
This is the $24 million question. By any standard reason of logic, you'd have to think they will at least tag him, because it's hard to find quarterbacks. You know, we all understand that. But at the same point, you know, do they want to give him that long-term deal? Do they have some cap space? But giving one guy $24 million without being able to sort of massage that figure down in your books is not ideal. Right. Plus, you want to go through this situation again. I think it's tricky. By the way, is Jay Cutler going to be on the free agent market next year?
Yeah, I think so. They're out from underneath the worst part of that contract. He's going to be 34 years old, and you got to remember, he was never John Fox and Ryan Pace's guy. So I think that the odds are definitely against him returning. But, you know, crazier things have happened. Everyone is out of contract. Brian Hoyer. I believe Connor Shaw, who's coming off a broken leg. It's only Matt Barkley they have as a restricted free agent. So maybe it's not a fait accompli, but I would be surprised. I think he's kind of ran his course here. So it'll certainly be a big talking point, much like in Washington with Cousins. We'll be talking about that well into January and February.
No, because that's interesting, because right now Cousins, if he were to become a free agent, which he won't, but even if the Redskins let him test it somehow, there's almost nobody out there, so he has a lot of leverage. If Cutler gets out there, you know, I'm not the biggest Jay Cutler fan, but certainly if you're some team, you might look at him and say, hey, we have enough to work with. He's better than what we have. We can go with Cutler, which maybe hurts Cousins' leverage a little bit, but probably not a big deal. Cousins would seemingly still be the main target if somehow the Redskins let him test for agency.
Yeah, it's a great point. That'll be they're kind of connected in that way. And if Cousins somehow got away, I think the Bears would think long and hard about getting him in for a look. So, hey, that's a good topic, Ben. Maybe once the offseason rolls around, we can link back up and do another podcast. What do you think?
I'm down for that. I like talking about sports, so anytime you want. I mean,
very cool. Well, thank you so much for being so generous with your time on a short week, Ben, and we'll see you Saturday at Soldier Field. Safe travels and happy holidays, all that good stuff.
Hey, same to you. Really appreciate your time, and best of luck covering that team.
All right, outstanding. That is Ben Standig, the host of Locked On Redskins. Make sure you find out all his work on Twitter at Ben Standig.
You are Locked On Redskins, your daily Washington Redskins podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.